You're asking about the coin that the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office Lake Patrol sent Rosie?
Yes, sir.
It's called the Challenge Coin. Rob just texted in and says they are collectible. Do you really want to collect those? Do they send them to just people that they have rescued? I don't know that I would ever want one.
I'm not up for another one.
I could see when you go to buy life insurance. How many of those collectible coins do you have? Oh, about 25.
Oh, your premium nice just tripled.
Had several really sweet phone calls during the break, people wanting to know the P.O. box where to send those cards to Rosie. He still loves getting them. Don't stop. He's got some ways to go to build that strength and get him through this last push here. It's P.O. box. You can just send it to Rosie on the house at P.O. box 14487 Scottsdale 85267. But just thank you so much for the heartfelt wishes. It was tears of joy. It made me cry. It was really sweet to have those kind of phone calls, and we're very happy to be on this side of things.
Yes, we are. And he's listening. If you'd like to call in and give him your best, we did that, and it all choked us up last time. But you know what? It means a lot to Rosie, and you're welcome to do that. And just let him know you're glad to hear he's getting better. And we're to the point. You know, there was a lot of during the process of it, a lot of questions, and I don't think there's any question. In fact, the last time you had sent a prayer request out to the family about where, you know, the next place for Rosie, because he was at, you know, we never announced where he was just to keep.
He just needs all his energy to recover.
Well, and even close friends, we said, you know, he's just too tired. He doesn't want, if you're there, he's got this obligation to visit with you. He just needs to rest. I mean, they would still show up thinking, no, but that's just, you know, it's family only, but he's got that magic to make you feel like you're an exception and you are family. And so when they were moving him from when it was time to leave St. Joe's on where to go, and the insurance was either going to try and send him to this nursing home or this other rehab, and he sent a request, we need the rehab. We want the rehab center. His nursing home is not right for him. It was something to do with the insurance. And you know what? I didn't even bother praying for that because, you know what? There was never a question he wasn't going to get that. There was so many things that happened along the way. The Lord was there for him every single step. I said, he's not going to get this far and not get this treatment. And it was, what, like 3 hours later?
Yeah.
You called and said, we got it.
We got it. And he's got it. God's great. Got it. That's right.
So we'll be back. We'll be back soon with Rosie here at Rosie on the House. In the meantime, we're making our way through our article this week of the different things we can do around our home that can be accomplished in a weekend. There, if you don't start a project if you start a project with the mindset that this is going to be done a weekend and you don't get it done, those can become very long, drawn out projects, and they can become very irritating and clumsy around the house. So, but if you start it with the intention this is going to be a 3 or 4 week project or 5 week project, well, then it's manageable. So, but it's the ones that start that never get finished that just start piling up. And I've got a handful of those. I think it probably more than that if I stopped to count around our property. You know, you there's just a point in your life where you've got to make a decision. Do I want to ride horses or do I want to do other things? And right now we're at the ride horses, and that's just the priority. But
it's called a season.
Yes, the season. But the outlets, what about your electrical outlets around your home? The light fixtures, on-off lights. One thing that becomes very, very stand out if you do a nice interior, whether you're doing maybe a veneer or some kind of mosaics on the wall, backsplashes, tile, those face plates stand out. And over the last 20 years, they've been really finally enhanced that part of our home. There's a lot of different products that come out that will let you color paint them. They're actually designed to not take any kind of finish on top of them. And the reason for that is so they're easy to clean. When we look at the oils in our hands and we're touching the light switches constantly, they want to be able to make that easy to clean along with the face plates around them. So they're designed not to take anything. So the first thing we have to do is scrub them with a product that gives a little bit of an abrasion so that the paint then sticks. Well, most of the time we skip the part of priming. Anytime you're putting paint on something that's not primed to take it, you don't get a great bond. And then over the course of time using it, that top coat starts wearing off pretty quickly, and then people end up just going back to the initial faceplate to begin with. So there's a certain amount of procedures, and it can be very tedious and take a long time. But you want to talk about making the finish in your home tie in very nicely to it's not just a bland white or yellow faceplate. Another one of those things, when you start counting up, you realize just how many you have in your home. That's not a mistake. There's a certain, in the building code, there's a certain amount of feet that's allowed between it. You've got to have ones by doorways. Some of them have to be GFCI. When that's designed and put together, that's following a building code, and it has to be a certain elevation in a certain place. None of those are by accident, and there's a lot of them. What they're also right above is the baseboard. I am not a big fan of baseboards. When I built my last home, I didn't put any baseboards in. Just let the wall go to the floor and make that seam your finish, because that's one more building material that really you don't need unless you're doing a really nice crown molding. To have a paint-finished baseboard, that's just one more area to catch dust and have to clean and maintain. And say, well, what about scuff marks from shoes on the walls? Well, how often are you kicking your walls? Can you not walk down your hallway without kicking your wall?
How many times do you have a bad day? Dang!
You know, that most of that scuffing is coming from moving furniture and stuff. Well, just have a wall finished good enough.
And vacuuming. You know, you could rub a vacuum if you're trying to get those corners in there. You'll have scuff marks.
Okay, so I didn't put any carpet in my home either. It was all concrete, decorative concrete finish.
Oh, well, you're set.
So it was just a straight mop. I didn't, living in the desert and in a dusty area, the last thing I wanted to mess with was carpet. Now, we do have area rugs in certain rooms of the home that we had thrown out, but no. Like I said, when I get done with a project, I want to know this project, every element of it is done for as long as it can possibly need any kind of maintenance or upkeep or being replaced. That concrete slab with that decorative concrete finish, the patio had dyed. We put the color dye in the concrete. We stamped it to look like wood. That porch is going to be there long after me. And it's done. I want to build things to be long-term. The most, I'm trying to remember exactly how Mick phrased it. He is a big proponent of recycling and sustainability. The most green home we live in is the one we're already living in, because the amount of materials it takes to build a new home, when you start thinking about that, it starts to add up. So the greenest home we live in is the one we're in right now. Well, that is true, but new homes do need to get built, and building those with the long-term masonry perspective is our focus. There's a guy at Quality Block who's no longer with us, Clem Hellman. He was actually the first sponsor of this radio program. Rosie, when he started, said, I'll never let anybody sponsor the program. And when Clem heard the radio broadcast, he's like, I need to be part of this and partner. So he brought Dad down to his masonry manufacturing plant. And Rosie said, all right, this is the kind of person I can partner with. But Clem had a great line that 50 years ago, we built homes, block homes and wood fences. Now we build wood homes and block fences. And in 50 years, we're going to have a lot of nice block fences.
Yeah, exactly. You know, going back to cement floors, in New Orleans, there are some classic steamboat houses that were built in the late 1800s to 1900s. And you want to know how they constructed the floors and the walls? Marble. And here's they knew way beforehand about hurricanes and floods. so that when something would hit, like a hurricane or a flood would come through and would flood the interior of the steamboat house, once the water went down, all they did was just wipe it off with, you know, fresh water. I don't know if they had hoses back then or not. Very smart, though, to build floors and walls in marble. That way the cleanup is pretty much easy. It's a breeze.
When you look at the history of building and architectural buildings that have stood the test of time, there seems to be a very awkward transition in that our building products and building science is enhancing, but our craftsmanship and techniques are going in kind of a reverse
trend. Opposite direction, yeah, yeah. Concrete walls.
Oh, there is something about that old world trade skills. But moving to number four, when we're looking at our projects to get done in a weekend around the home, repairing all or part of chipped, cracked casing where it's needed when we look around. And it may not be a trim casing. There may be completed with the caulking. That exterior caulking is not made to last forever. It's an elastomeric product, and that often needs to be repaired. You can tell how the skill level of the person that put that together by how thick the caulking joint should be. You should see little to no. And the smaller we can get our caulking joints, the longer it'll last. The wider the caulking joints, that's just more expanding and contracting and more opportunity for moisture to get in. A thin bead of caulking is really can tell you how well they put that home together, but that is one area that we need to be looking at. It seals the two areas. Moisture is a big problem in Arizona. We think, well, we don't get enough rain. Well, there's still moisture in the air, and because of the lack of water, when water does come, that hard contrast actually creates more problems than if we just had a consistent amount of rainfall. You know, things dry out, then it gets, and it's hot, then it gets cold and wet really quick. That contraction and change in our material has it's very hard on our building materials. So because of the lack of water, we actually have more water problems than other places that are built to be in a wet environment. We've got a couple items to talk through on projects we can get through here at the final segment of Rosie on the House.